Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Glory to God. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory. Help yourself, bro. If we're not careful, we're going to allow the times in which we live and what society thinks and what Bible college thinks rob us of real Bible worship. Just because you came to church don't mean you worship. Amen. I love worship. If you'll study worship throughout the Bible, most of the time it was loud. Some people don't like that. I said most of the time it was loud. Amen. Thank God we're in a place where we can worship. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's not a... Sometimes people say that we're a little too loose. Well, I'd rather be too loose than too tight. Amen. I've been to too tight. They ought to get out there and get them a paintbrush and change the name of the church to Too Tight Baptist. Amen. I preach there over and over again. I don't want to be Too Tight Baptist. Amen. I want to be just loose. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 this morning, I'm telling you, I got so much. I got the men to come down and pray with me. I got so much information and so much thoughts going through my mind that it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to come out this morning, but I want to give you what the Lord laid on my heart. Sometime back, Brother Eric Knight, a young preacher out of our church, he's down in Houston, Texas, and he sent me an email with just a verse of scripture and a little bit of an explanation. And boy, the Lord's just expounded that thing, exploded maybe might be the word. But I want to be a help to you and an encouragement to you this morning. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, and we're going to look at a verse of Scripture. Now, if you know your Bible even halfway, you know that the Apostle Paul is the one doing the writing in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Now, he is not the author. Let me just say that again. He is not the author. The author is God himself. Paul is nothing more than a secretary taking dictation of the Holy Ghost of God, penning what God would have him write. Sometimes we read through the scripture and we think, this is how Paul was feeling, and many times it was. Leading up to here and in different days, Paul had been discouraged. He had been distressed, and he didn't know where help was coming from. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah. Have you ever felt a little bit down? And what happens, Brother Freddie, we get to looking at everything that's around us. We begin to look at our life. We begin to look at health, and we begin to look at finances, and a lot of you watch too much news. You begin to look at the world and where the government is and all this stuff, and it's real easy, man. Even a child of God could wind up on Prozac if we look at the wrong thing. Amen. Discouragement is normal, and I believe that's why the Lord would allow Paul to write about it. Amen. All through the Bible, he's allowed men to write about their discouragement and even their depression. They never used that term, Brother Greg, but they were. Yeah. Amen. Moses was depressed. Yeah. Elijah was depressed. Yeah. No doubt you can't tell me in a prison cell that you wouldn't feel a little bit down. I wonder, as many dark nights chained to a wall, probably rats that big. I'm telling you, I wonder if Paul got discouraged in the jail. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to look at verse number 14. It seems that in this passage right here that in a time of disappointment and discouragement that Paul just seems to take an about face. And I want to read this verse to you this morning. That's where we'll preach from in verse number 14. Paul said, "Now thanks be unto God." Well, that's a good statement. Do us all good. Amen. Just stop and give thanks unto God, which always causeth us to triumph. Say the word with me. Triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. I'm going to read it again. Now, thanks be unto God, which causeth us, or which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. I want to key in on one word in that verse this morning, and that is the word triumph. The word triumph. And I'm going to give you the definition, and it's not a cool motorcycle. Amen? It's not just some cool motorbike or a cool motorcycle. When we think of the word triumph, and I've read over that probably many times, and it's used several times in the scripture, every time I read it, I think of overcoming. I think of victory. How many of you have experienced victory in your life? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse number 58, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. We sing page 120 out of the old church hymnal. I heard an old story about a Savior came from glory. And we sing victory in Jesus. Amen. If you're saved, you know something about victory. And whether you realize it or not, you know something about triumph. I always put victory and triumph as they could have been the same word, but boy, was I wrong. They are totally different. Triumph is not a state of mind. Triumph is not a state of being. I'm gonna give you the definition for triumph. The definition of triumph is both to honor and a ceremony paid to a victorious Roman general. Triumph is an honor and a ceremony. Triumph, in other words, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not a state of being. It is an action. It is an action. Go ahead, Brother James, and put my picture up this morning. I want to show you what triumph is. It is literally a party or a parade. There you go. There's a picture of a Roman triumph. I'm going to have to get my glasses to explain some of this to you. And I want you to get this. Listen, in the natural, in the flesh, we're going to face discouragement. We're going to face disappointment. Hey, whether you realize it or not, people are going to let you down. You understand that just because you got saved doesn't mean that everything in life is going to be banana splits and Oreo blizzards. It ain't that way. You're going to have trouble. The Lord said in this life, ye shall have tribulation. We're going to have tough days. Even God's people have bad days. And we get to looking in our natural ability, in our natural realm, and it's easy to get discouraged and it's easy to get depressed. Amen. But then those of us are saved. We don't just live in the natural.
That's right.
We also live in the supernatural. I still have a body of flesh. I still hurt like anybody hurts. I still have feelings like anybody have feelings. I'm still tempted like anybody's tempted because of this flesh. But when I trusted Christ as my Savior, something not natural but supernatural moved in within me. Amen. And through that spiritual eye, I can see past the discouragement. I can see past the depression. I can see past the disappointment. And I can see the triumph. By the way, I've read the back of the book, and we win. Our choir sings that song, I am on the winning side. Amen. By the way, Christian, you're on the winning side. The devil may have you beat down this morning. He may have you convinced that you're a nothing and a nobody. He may have you convinced that there's no way out of the situation that you're in. But might I remind you this morning that we serve a Savior who has already conquered death, hell, and the grave and rose victoriously. Hallelujah. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I'm here to tell you we can still do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I guarantee you your situation ain't bigger than our God. Amen. Man, I'm so wound up this morning. Listen, I want to tell you what these triumph celebrations were. The first triumph were celebrated, or were those celebrated by Romulus, the founder of Rome himself. Rome celebrated the victory of its generals for over 1,000 years, approaching nearly 500 in total by the end of the Western Empire. 400 in AD marked the end of the tradition, as the emperor Herodias was the recipient of the last true Roman triumph. Now listen, we're going to go into this and we'll give you some details about the triumph. But I guarantee you, as a discouraged apostle is penning the word of God, Brother Freddie, when he gets down to that, you got to understand, Paul understood the terminology. It, and every Jew, every Roman, every Greek in that day that read the word triumph, they didn't just see it as just an overcoming. They didn't just see it as a victory, but they saw it as a celebration. They saw it as a grand thing. They saw it as a celebration reserved for only a few. Everybody didn't get a triumph. Everybody didn't get a triumph. There was certain requirements for triumph. Every year we have gold rush. And when I say gold rush to anybody in Villarica, what's that mean to you? Parade. Parade, celebration of the founding of our city. Amen? And it's a celebration set for that. Now listen, just because you're a citizen of Villarica or a citizen of Carroll County, they don't hold parades just because you live here. Amen? They don't hold parades, but in very special occasions. Today, when great warriors come home, we may have a parade for them. I remember reading about Sergeant York and watching the movie when he came home and they brought him to New York City, that little Tennessee mountain boy, and they led him in a parade down the middle of Times Square and the ticker tape fell. That's kind of like this celebration we're talking about. It was a great warrior had returned home victorious, and they held a great celebration for the requirements for triumph. Now, you're going to think that this is only reserved, and you know where I'm going, it's Jesus Christ. And you're going to think that it's only reserved for Him, but by the way, let me just mention, you're in Him and He's in you. Amen. We're heirs and joint heirs. I may have a fit this morning. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. I want you to look at the requirements for a triumph. Let me read you some scripture first, Colossians 2 and verse number 15. The Bible said, "And having spoiled the principalities and power." Let me say that again. If you'll read Ephesians chapter number 5, you'll learn that that's who our enemies are. Principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in high places. Y'all remember that? Right before we put on the whole armor of God, we realize who our enemy is. Now, I want you to watch. Jesus has already spoiled the principalities. He's already beat what is attacking me. He's already got his foot on the neck of my enemy. And I need to understand that. Having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly. Watch this. Triumphing. Over them in it. Triumph, in other words, it's not something that will be. It's not something that may be. It's not something that shall be. Our great general, our great Savior has already beaten our enemy. Amen? To be granted a triumph, the soldier must have achieved certain things. Watch this. Number one, he must have been the actual commander in the field and not a secondary leader. He must have been the actual commander in the field and not a secondary leader. A general did not get or receive a triumph if he sent a lieutenant to do the job. He did not receive, good God Almighty, He did not receive a triumph or a parade if he sent a corporal or a sergeant to do the job. Well, the general must go into battle himself. Woo! Amen. I'm glad one day Jesus Christ, Himself. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a representative. But God Himself stepped out of glory and became flesh for you and I. And God Himself went to Calvary and conquered a triumph for us. There's so much in this. This may be a two-parter. You'll want to come back tonight. If so, Matthew 28 and verse number 20, the Lord said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Watch this. And lo, watch these personal pronouns. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm glad it's him. I'm glad it's him. Let me just say it again. I'm glad it's him. It wasn't an angel that come down while the choir was singing and stirred my heart this morning. I'm telling you, it wasn't another spirit that came by and stirred my heart while Brother Tommy testified. Oh, but it was the Spirit of the living God that settled down in my soul this morning and made me want to shout glory and hallelujah. Christ himself. Y'all would be impressed, or you might, I wouldn't, if the president attended our services this morning. I know pastors, they put big bills every year on having their mayor, and I love our mayor. I love Brother Jay, and he's my friend, and he wouldn't be mad for me saying this. They put a big deal on the mayor coming once a year and opening their services in prayer. Look, I love Brother Jay, but I'd rather have the Holy Ghost. I'd rather have God's presence in this place. I'd rather have him than the governor. I'd rather have him than the president. Hey, I've got the highest of the highest, the loftiest of the loftiest. I've got the one who is in pure control this morning, and he is in this place. You say, how do you know God's here? I'm here. Amen. He said, lo, I'm with you. I believe with all my heart, Brother Atkins, good to have you back. I believe he is talking to me right there. I believe I could just write my name up under there and it'd be just all right with the Lord. Amen. I'm glad God himself entered the battle. If it had been any other, it'd been a defeat. Amen. He must have been the actual commander. Listen, secondly, the campaign, now to receive triumph, the campaign or the battle must have been completely finished. And the victorious troops brought home with little to no losses. Somebody help me this morning. I need some folks this morning. Go to church with me. Listen, look it up on Wikipedia. That's what I did. Amen. Look it up. Amen. This are the requirements for triumph. The battle or the conquest must have been completely finished. I'm glad when Jesus bowed his head at Calvary, one of the last words uttered from his precious lips was, Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He said, it is finished. Not one miracle left to do. Not one prayer left to pray. Not one drop of blood left to shed. But God, it is finished. So far, Brother Freddie, on these requirements, he's meeting them. We're examining him this morning to see if he's worthy, to see if he qualifies for triumph. Yes, so far, these first two requirements, he's in there. Yeah. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. The Lord said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know, it's what Paul is saying, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Whew. Watch this. Third requirement. The empire must have been extended. It could not have been, I'm going to kill myself this morning. The empire had, Woo! The empire had to have been extended. It could not have just been a repelled attack. In other words, he didn't just hold off the enemy. He didn't just hold off the devil. He didn't just bring salvation, but he increased the kingdom of God. And thanks be unto God, hey, he extended the kingdom when he grafted in that Gentile root. Amen. You see, when this thing first came about, Brother James, you had to be a Jew and wear a beanie on your head. You had to be born unto a certain sect and family, or you didn't get in. Oh, but good God Almighty, thank God there was a little Gentile woman came to a well to draw some water one day, and there she met a man. Was she a Jew? No. She was a Gentile dog. She was a Samaritan, the one the Jew looked down on. Oh, but Jesus said, come, I'll give you water that you may never thirst again. To receive this triumph, the kingdom must have been extended. In other words, the general must bring some from the enemy over to our side. According to Ephesians chapter number 2, I was an alien, I was an outcast, but I'm glad when the Holy Ghost came by, he convinced me and brought me over onto the other side. The Bible said, having translated us from the power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Somebody will get happy with me. If this ain't stirring your soul, man, something's wrong somewhere. I'm talking about the requirements for triumph. I know. This is going to be one of them days you leave and say, I can't believe was in church that long. The empire must have been extended. It could not just be a repelled attack. Thirdly, fourthly, whatever this is, watch this. The victory must have been won over a foreign foe and not a civil war. Let me say it again. Some of y'all are a little bit slow, I know. You live too close to the Alabama line. The victory must have been won over a foreign foe and not a civil war. I'm glad Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Woo! Hallelujah! He beat death, hell, and the grave. He beat the foreign foe, that which was annihilated from the portals of glory. I'm telling you, Jesus rose victorious. The requirements. The requirements. Over a foreign foe. Now watch this. Lastly, I think it's last. There must be peace in the conquered land after the battle. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I'm glad the Bible said there is a peace that passes all understanding. I'm glad that night when heaven came down and glory filled my soul, where there was uncertainty and where there was unrest, there was a peace like a river that I never felt in all my life. I'm glad when he conquered the enemy, there was peace in my heart. There must be peace in the land. There are requirements. Woo. Paul uses this picture that was clear to those under the Roman Empire to say Christ has conquered and has met all the requirements. Watch this. Not only has Christ met all the requirements, but we are co-conquerors with Him. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In verse 36, that as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37 said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What I'm trying to say, because Jesus gets a triumph, because the Father gets a triumph, and because the Holy Ghost gets a triumph, I get a triumph and you get a triumph because I'm in Him and He's in me. Through Him, God's precious Son, we have met the requirements for triumph. That ought to be helping somebody. Quit looking at what's going on. Quit looking at what's around you. Start looking at what's already gone on. He met every requirement for triumph. Oh, I need to quit, but I ain't. I can't help it. If you got to go, we'll understand. If you can walk out on this, help yourself. There was the requirement, Brother Terry, for triumph. They didn't go to all this for nothing. Everybody came out. All the royalty was there. All the governors were there. All the politicians were there. All the musicians, and we'll get into that in a minute. All the musicians were there. The trumpeters were there. The slaves were there. They started from the highest of the high and went down to the lowest of the low. Everybody came to see triumph. Amen. I hope you came to see triumph this morning and not defeat. I hope you came to celebrate what God has already done. There was the requirements of triumph. And then secondly, there is the recognition of triumph. I'll go through these fast, but some of them you just can't help it. There is the recognition of triumph. In an actual triumph, I want you to notice, and if you know your Bible, some of this stuff's going to help you. The victorious general would march through the streets of Rome all the way to the capital. The procession would be the politicians, the trumpeters, announcing his arrival. The trumpeters announcing his arrival. That sounds like 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. How do you, hey man, a trumpet's going to sound, hallelujah unto God. Hey, we're going to hear a trumpet, and then we're out of here, my brother. Hey, his arrival will be announced. The next time he comes to earth will not be the next time he comes to our atmosphere. Now, there's too much in this. God help me this morning. The next time he comes in our atmosphere to be like a thief in the night. And nobody's going to know but us. And the only reason we're going to know because we're going to get translated. We're going to get snatched up. We're going to get caught away. But then a little while later, about 7 years, as far as I can tell, he's coming back. Yeah. And when he comes back, we're coming. Yes, sir. We're coming with him. Amen. And everybody in every land and all four corners of the earth, everybody's going to know. Here he comes. Here he comes. Oh, my. Oh, my, my, my. The trumpeters announcing his arrival. And then behind the trumpeters are the spoils that was taken in battle. You say, what are the spoils of Christ's battle? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1 said, and you have and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses. Woo! Well, the spoils of his battle are you and I. Those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Those who were on their way to hell but are now on their way to heaven. We will be with him. Hallelujah unto God. The trumpeters will announce his coming. And then those that he won in battle. Listen, Christ had to win a battle before he won me. He had to defeat heaven. I mean, he had to defeat hell. He had to defeat Satan, hell and the grave, before he could win me. Thank God. I'm glad I'm one of the spoils. Amen. Oh, me. There would be paintings of the conquered land. And then a white bull that would be sacrificed to the God. And then the captives. Then the captives, that's the POWs. Yeah. Now watch this. They didn't just put them in jail. They chained them. They bound them in chains.
Yes, sir. Come on, preacher.
I wish you knew your book.
Yes, sir. Come on, preacher.
They bound them in chains.
Yeah, preacher.
And led them through the city. That all may see this who brought you trouble, this who brought you trial, this who brought you battle will never, ever hurt you or hinder you ever, ever again. We've got them bound, we've got them chained, and then they cast them into a pit. Revelations chapter 20 and verse number 1, John said, and I saw. Sometimes it'd do you good to do you a little study through the book of Revelation and study out every time John said, and I saw. He said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Oh, is he lining up?
Yes, sir.
Is he lining up for triumph? Can you imagine the day?
Yes, sir.
I said yesterday, by the grave of Brother Henry Dodd, we're putting in the ground everything in his life that ever caused him trouble. Yeah. One of these days, we're going to stand before God. And I don't know about you, and I know you're not supposed to hate, but I think the Lord will allow us to hate the old devil. Amen.
Yes, sir.
The devil's caused me to commit every sin I ever committed.
That's right, sir.
The devil's caused me every heartache I ever felt, every trial I've ever been through. I'm telling you, he's caused enough trouble. I hate him. But one of these days, we're going to get to see him led through the street with a great chain wrapped around him. We're going to see him bound. I hope the Lord will let us come by and just kick him one time. Amen. It ain't your neighbor that hurt you.
That's right.
It ain't your spouse that hurt you. It's the devil himself, amen, working through people. But one of these days, he'll be bound to hurt us no more. We know it's going to happen. We might as well go ahead and celebrate.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Fire up the band. Amen. Then the musicians would come behind. The musicians would come behind those that were captive, the princes and leaders and generals. They'd come behind those in chains, and they'd sing a song. Revelation talks about a new song.
That's right.
Amen. We're going to sing a new song. I got to hurry. I promise I'm trying. I am. Be patient with me. I'm more interested in what God wants this morning.
Amen, preacher.
Then the priests would come with their censers. They would swing them like this, and it was like an incense burning. It'd offer up sweet-smelling sacrifice to God. You know what that is? That's what the song they're singing behind those musicians, and that's incense to God. And then the general himself would be riding in a chariot, adorned in royal apparel, wearing a crown on his head. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Following this great general would be his family. Following this great general would be his family. The Bible said we have received the spirit of adoption.
Yes, sir.
Whereby
Amen.
We cry, Abba, Father.
Amen.
I've been adopted into the family.
Yes, sir.
His family would come behind him, and they wouldn't be murmuring, they wouldn't be mumbling, but the story said they'd be shouting, triumph,
yes,
triumph,
yes,
triumph, and they would be shouting it to him. Wow. And riding in the chariot with the triumphant, the general would be a slave, and he would be facing the crowd behind, and I cannot say this, it's in Greek, I reckon, but he would be saying, respice posti hominin momento ti. It said, look behind you and remember that you are just a man. Look behind you and remember that you are just a man. In other words, don't get so caught up in the victory that the enemy can't sneak up on you again. In other words,
Amen.
We don't get to take credit for this battle. The glory and the honor
Amen.
Goes to him.
Amen.
He fought it for us.
Yes, sir.
And he gives to us the victory. But we've
got
to turn around and give the victory right back to him. There's no big eyes. There's no little use. Or the ground is level at Calvary.
That's right.
It's all because of him and nothing else. And they had moved through the streets with mobs cheering. And at the end of the procession, the triumphant would remove his crown from his head and lay it at the feet of his God. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10, Lord of mercy, the 24 elders fall down before him, sit on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. There was the requirements for triumph. There was the recognition in triumph. And this is real quick and I'll be done. There is the rewards for triumph. There is the rewards for triumph. He would be crowned and take off his crown and place it before the feet of his God. Now watch this carefully. After the big ceremony, after the parade, this, it culminated in a feast. Only those who were part of the parade, only those who were part of the ceremony, only those who were with the triumphant could partake.
Yes.
Sound like a marriage supper of the Lamb to you? Christ himself, Christ will gird himself in service. The old song says, with sweet manna all around. Then the Bible said, or the story said, that after the ceremony, the triumphant would be issued land. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Bible said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Right.
If we deny him, he'll also deny us.
Amen.
Now watch this. This is the last thing of the reward for the triumphant. Remember, We're grafted in there. This is not just his triumph. It's ours too. He's sharing it for us. It said that after the celebration, after the feast, a mansion.
Yes, sir.
Would be built. A mansion would be built for the one who received the triumph. John said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Woo! My wife and I, just a couple of weeks ago, were on Sanibel Island down in South Florida. And I'm telling you, there's many who visit there and few who live there. As we rode down the streets, there were houses, Brother Atkins. They looked like hotels. I'm talking about they had to have live-in servants and butlers and maids. To our eyes, those were mansions. And I thought about in heaven, it's going to be the grandest subdivision you ever saw in your life. I'm talking about mansions on every corner. Hallelujah. And I'm glad one of those streets, I guess there's just one street, amen. But down that street somewhere, Brother Terry, there's a mansion. And out in front of that mansion, there's a mailbox. And it says the Wyatts, amen. Woo! In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
No one can promise you that this Christian life will be easy. No one can tell you that the battles won't sometimes be hard. That the nights aren't sometimes dark. You may seem to be fighting all alone. But Paul seems to say, in spite of all these things, thanks be to God, gives us the triumph, the celebration. Todd, y'all come. Ashley, I want you to sing What a Day. Can y'all do that? What a day that'll be. There's coming a day when no heartaches shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim our eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon the face, the one who saved me by his grace. Oh, and when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that'll be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. If we could, let's just stand together this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed, if you don't mind. Listen, he's already met the requirements for your triumph, for your celebration. Won't you trust him this morning? I wonder if there's one here today. You say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died today, heaven would be my home. Listen, I wouldn't come to you or embarrass you for nothing in this world, but I would like to pray for you. Boy, it's my desire that nobody leave this place this morning on their way to hell. If you just slip up your hand, I promise you, I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to call your name. Nobody's going to tap you on the shoulder. I just want to pray for you. If you say, preacher, I'm not sure that if I died today, heaven would be my home. I'd like to leave this place triumphant this morning. Please pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? Just right quick, and you can put it. God bless your hearts. I see both those hands.
Is there anybody else say, preacher, I'm not sure. I don't want to go to hell. If you can really know heaven's your home, you can already have this victory over death in your heart. I'd like to know that. Please pray for me. Is there anybody else? How about this, child of God? Saved on your way to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. I haven't been living like a triumphant Christian ought to have been living. I've been looking at what's around me, what's going on in my life, and I've taken my eyes off the triumphant one, my Savior. Preacher, pray I get my victory back. Pray I get my triumph back. Hallelujah. Hands all over this place. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name, thank you, oh God, for a great day in your house with your people. Lord, thank you for the realization of what Paul was talking about when he said you gave us triumph. Lord, I'm glad it's more than just an overcoming. But Lord, we can go ahead and celebrate because you have overcome the world. Thank you, Lord. You didn't have to include us, but you did. And I thank you so much for that. Lord, you saw every hand. God, you know every heart. Lord, you saw those two little hands that raised and said, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Lord, let them come and get that settled right here today. And Lord, there's some of your people who raised their hands, others who ought have and didn't, Lord, who are struggling. Lord, they're letting the enemy convince them that they're beat when, Lord, you've already defeated the enemy for them. God, help us all to understand and receive triumph this morning. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. Get honor and glory out of this altar call. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.